Hey everyone, it's Steve. This podcast is for visitors who want to feel like locals and locals who want to feel like regulars all before they ever step into any place in Greater Milwaukee. My co-host Adam and I have been exploring Milwaukee our entire lives, and we've put together more than 200 episodes about our incredible city. This episode features Milwaukee Ballet. We have enlightening and entertaining conversations with company dancer Alana Griffith, as well as managing director and chief advancement officer Ty Pauls. How does Milwaukee Ballet tell stories without words? How did Alana get started, and what type of dance did she dislike most? How the heck does someone even become a professional performer? What do performances look like, and what do you wear? How involved is Milwaukee Ballet in our community? All the answers, plus how to get tickets in this episode. Experience Milwaukee has its home studio in the Transfer Pizzeria Cafe, and our official beer partner is New Barons Brewing Cooperative. And if you haven't heard, check out our new project, Text MKE, at textmke.com, Milwaukee's only daily text on what's happening in and around the city. Thanks for listening. Love you, Milwaukee.
Hello, Milwaukee!
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
Milwaukee is fun-loving,
up-and-coming,
a rising star.
And now, let's get into the episode.
My name is Alana Griffith, and I am a dancer at Milwaukee Ballet. And to me, Milwaukee is fun, welcoming, and just a very interesting city full of art. And we have cold winters, but we have incredible summers.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
Alana.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we have a guest here that I have very little experience in your world, and I'm excited to learn more.
We are about as inexperienced when it comes to ballet as it gets, so I'm very excited to learn a ton about it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome. Can we maybe start way, way, way at the beginning?
In the way back? Let's do it.
Alana, how did you get involved in ballet, and how did you get to this point?
This level.
Well,
pro. Actually, I guess for ballet dancers, it's kind of a boring story, but maybe for you guys it'll be interesting. Both my parents were dancers.
Okay.
So okay.
They met dancing in Mexico City. My dad's American, my mom's Mexican, and they were more show dancers. Like, they worked in a hotel. They worked with a lot of famous shows in Mexico, and they put me in every dance class imaginable. And I fell in love with ballet.
Oh, wow.
You did?
Yes.
That's cool.
All right. Now that you said that, what other dances did you get forced into?
His wife teaches dance. So he knows. He's a little bit more in the know.
A little bit more. Yeah. But which ones were you in and you went just hard pass?
Tap dancing. Okay. I don't know why. No, I never did breakdancing, unfortunately.
Okay.
No, I did tap, hip-hop, jazz. I really like jazz. I stuck with that for a while. But yeah, I just tap. My mom kept making me do it until I was 15.
Okay.
And then she was like, then you can quit.
Okay.
So I quit that at 15, and then I just kept with ballet and
was
jazz.
This like your 15th birthday? You were like, mom, I quit ballet.
Do you ever,
I'm done. Never again.
Do you ever say, hey, mom, I know I'm a pro now, but I would have been a pro faster if you wouldn't have made me.
No.
Just make your live with your
right.
That sounds
actually
pretty devious.
She was right, because tap has given me a lot my career.
Good.
So.
Did when you were that young, did you ever, did you have like dreams of this? Like, this is going to be what I do for my rest of my life?
Yeah, definitely. And, okay. With ballet, I always wanted to become a ballerina. We would go watch shows all the time, and I just knew I was really determined that I wanted to be.
What were some of the shows that stick out in your head as a kid that you were like, oh, man, I want to do that so bad?
Well, The Nutcracker. I always wanted to see The Nutcracker.
Sure.
And I was lucky enough that I grew up in New York City, so I saw American Ballet Theater a lot.
Sure.
And, yeah, that's kind of what inspired me.
Nutcracker. I know that one.
I feel pretty cool right now.
Me too.
Okay, wait, really quick. Is In the Hall of the Mountain King the Nutcracker, or is that something else?
I think that's something else. Wait, In the Hall of...
In the Hall of the Mountain King. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, no. Dun, dun, dun. What it's one is not. That? I don't. Hey, not a ballet that I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. That's a different movie.
We got there, and then I immediately fell off the cliff of not knowing what I'm talking about. That's okay. But we got there.
I can see why you would think that maybe
it's something. Yeah. I'll figure it out. Somebody in their car listening to this right now is just yelling at me. That's the wrong one.
You are an idiot.
And they
just turned the podcast off and went to music.
Yep, they just looked over. They're like, well, he doesn't know anything. Next.
So let's talk about your journey. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're in, you gave us the background on young kid, dance school, all that stuff. How do you make that leap from taking classes to the level? Yeah.
I want to say teenage years, my mom realized, like, okay, she's really serious. Mm-hmm. And I would go to these things called summer intensives, where you go for like 6 weeks to a different city and you do ballet all day, basically.
Whoa.
And my
that
teachers, yeah, it yeah. was really intense. So that's how I spent my summers.
Okay.
And my ballet teacher said, you know, if she really is serious about this, we need to think about getting her into a bigger school.
Okay.
So I auditioned for a few schools, and I ended up getting into English National Ballet School in London.
Wow.
And I moved there for 3 years at 17.
And you really are from everywhere.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Did you by chance start having a British accent in those 3 years?
You know, I like to think.
This is me, like, fingers crossed. Like, maybe I should move there for 3 years.
Yeah. I definitely started talking differently.
Okay.
I don't know
you did.
Your listeners can tell I'm from the Valley of Los Angeles.
Okay.
But...
Can you tell anymore? Maybe. I don't know. I can't tell, honestly. Maybe a little bit.
What do you know? You're singing songs from other...
Yeah.
Right. So did you, like, forego the last year of high school? Or
I did.
Okay.
I did. Ballet is one of those things. I like to tell people it's like training for the Olympics.
Right.
You have to do it really young or else it's not going to happen. So I was lucky enough that my parents and my teachers were really supportive, and I went to school in England instead, and I got my GED. I finished high school and everything. And I was there for 3 years, and then I auditioned a lot. And you have to have a lot of patience.
After? This is after the 3 years?
This is after I graduated, yeah.
To get into...
Oh, wow.
To a ballet company.
Okay, got it.
So this is just school. And I went to Nevada Ballet for a very short time. I realized that wasn't quite the company for me, so I kept auditioning again. And I had been researching, and I would look up companies online, and I saw that Michael Pink, my artistic director... He danced at the company that I went to school for, English National Ballet. So I saw that connection, and
cool.
I looked it up, and I was like, oh, they have really interesting stuff going on there. Like, I'm going to audition. And I went to a huge cattle call audition. There were 88 dancers there.
Whoa.
And I kind of got discouraged, but I saw them passing around my resume, like the panel. And I was like, oh, maybe they're interested.
Yeah,
okay.
And so I got a spot in the second company. We have like a year or two of kind of like trainees in mm-hmm. our ballet company where mm-hmm. you're not quite a professional yet, but you're not a student anymore. So I did a year as that, and then I got promoted into the company.
Wow.
So what does it take to get promoted?
Yeah.
Do you do more intensives?
You gotta like dance.
I suppose you gotta do good.
Do good.
Yeah.
And then you're in. Yeah.
I assume that's
we have no idea what it means to be a pro at any level in anything.
Clearly, it wasn't obvious by now.
Well, like, I think for me, I suited the company.
Sure. It was a good fit.
It was a good fit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of
sense. So you can be really talented and maybe not get a job somewhere, and that doesn't mean anything about your talent. It just wasn't the right place. Like me at Nevada Ballet, I decided to leave there because it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
A great company, but...
Yeah, right on. Right
yeah.
On. Totally. Been there.
Yeah.
So what about Milwaukee Ballet? What attracted you?
Well, so...
The cold weather?
I assume the
what can I freeze?
The winter apocalypse that we have every year.
From Los Angeles to London. London wasn't quite cold enough. So.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
Rainy.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, well, a lot of people can think that ballet is quite boring. You know, it's a story without words, and you're just watching movement. Obviously, I don't think that. But
right.
I think something that's always attracted me to the art form is that we are telling a story without words. And you can be incredibly talented dancer, have all these tricks, be, you know, turn forever, do huge jumps. But if you don't have artistry, it doesn't draw the audience in.
Sure.
And I've always been really interested in the storytelling of ballet and being an actress as well.
Okay.
A dancer.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
Milwaukee
never
thought
Ballet. Never even thought of it that way.
No, not
yeah.
at all.
And
so cool.
I think Milwaukee Ballet is so special because Michael is known for his storytelling in ballets. And so when I first joined the company, they were doing Romeo and Juliet. And right away I saw how the dancers were obviously really talented dancers, but they were really telling the story. And
sure.
they brought me to tears just in
oh,
the studio
wow.
being a part of it.
Oh,
and I was like,
gosh.
Wow, I have to get into this company because I love that they really incorporate the storytelling to the dancing. So
okay.
that's what really drew me to Milwaukee Ballet.
Wow. I have to imagine that's something that keeps you here.
Oh, yeah.
Upwards of, we're on a decade now in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I've gone to do some awesome ballets, told some awesome stories. I mean,
really
next
cool.
season we have Dracula coming up, and that is
nice.
Literally my favorite ballet. It's so fun. You guys should definitely come. I'll get you comps.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
I would totally go see that.
And if you need some background dancers,
okay,
we're,
yeah.
What's the fake blood budget?
Is it, you have to bring
your own.
Bring your own. Okay, got it. Yeah. I got squids and stuff. I'll make
that. Yeah, sure.
Audience member sir, ruins
please,
ballet.
Please leave, yeah.
Gets fired
Milwaukee
from
man
podcast.
Arrested today. At the ballet. Are there levels? Are you, like, what do you tell people when they're like, hey, what do you do?
I just tell them I'm an artist with Milwaukee Ballet. There are levels. Like, obviously, I've been in the company a long time, so the audience kind of knows my name a little more. They know my face.
Nice. That's so cool.
I've had a few, leading roles that I've gotten to do.
Sure.
Like I said, we have our second company as well, which they are dancing in almost every production with us. So they're kind of up and comers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see,
it's so cool.
The next class.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
I had to
beat him down.
I had a question off of that.
I'm kidding.
No.
What? Oh,
do you,
what?
This is a purely naive question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take this on the road ever? Do you ever go to other places with it? Or is it strictly Milwaukee?
I haven't. I think the company before I joined has gone like a couple places in Wisconsin. But,
oh, okay. Keeping it
yeah, we
local.
Keep it local.
I like that.
Yeah.
Regional. You get that local flavor out of it.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
So for someone, let's say, who's never been, what you I think you summed it up really nicely, stories without words.
Mm-hmm.
What else is it like to be there? Like, what do people dress like bums like me?
Or, you can dress like, however you want.
Really? Is
yes.
that that's allowed?
Yes.
Okay.
Seriously, like you can come very dressed up. You can come not dressed up. However
okay.
you're comfortable.
Sure.
But I like to think, I mean, I really like going to the movies.
Yeah.
And I like going somewhere to like completely escape. You get like immersed in a story.
Yes, sure.
And I think the ballet is so good for that because you're watching it real time. It's right in front of you. You have live music, and the dancing gives it this like ethereal feeling that's so different to watching a movie.
Sure.
And the emotion it's like watching a play without words, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just takes you that much further into the story, and you can kind of have your own interpretations of it as well, which I think is super interesting. So, and even for young kids, we do a lot of performances. Like we just did Peter Pan, which was so much fun. There's flying. I got to fly. I was Wendy. It was awesome. There's bubbles on stage. There's like one point where we like shoot a cannon. Like it's just so immersive. that it's good for any age, really.
This flying thing, how high off the ground are you?
Really
getting?
High. Really high.
He's afraid of heights.
Yeah, I'm mortified of heights. So when you said that, I was like, oh, you didn't fall, did you? Oh, God.
No, we're
I'm sure. I'm sure they have to be pretty safe. They don't want the lead role.
No, they just kind of wing it.
Die. Yeah. I'll just hook you up to this thing and start flying.
Oh, wait, let me tape this up real quick. So what's happening that in the production that maybe the audience doesn't know is happening? Like, whatever you can share, like kind of the behind the scenes, kind of like, I have to rush off and change really fast and do this. Like, any of that stuff going on?
Yes. Yeah. I guess you don't really see how much work goes into a ballet. In Peter Pan, we just had like a massive full ship set piece that like broke apart to make other set pieces. So at the start of Act 3, it was a full like pirate ship. And then it opened up to reveal like Captain Hook's cabin. So we have the crew like putting that together really fast because it's not like built basically.
It's modular.
And then you have to put it together. And then on top of that, we're doing costume changes. I'm getting in my harness. I'm getting out of my harness. You know, our stage manager is calling cues. Like there's so much goes into the art form.
Well, it's all like that game practice day. Has to pay off because things need to go off with a hitch.
It takes about,
I envy you. I would buckle under that pressure.
Yeah, me too.
I'd be like, the heart does. I'm working. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, it takes like about a month and a half to put a production together. A lot of rehearsal time.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, not to mention then you're doing all this while you're like tired from dancing, right?
You're doing all that and then also exhausted.
Also dancing. And like having to be as present in that, artistic moment too.
That's why it's years of training.
Yep. That's why
you start when you're a kid. You got any weird ones?
Yeah, always.
Go for it.
A couple of weird ones. One, the toll on your feet has to be pretty
on everything, right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's... You're like athlete, artist, dancer, all that.
Yeah.
Are there any tricks to keeping your feet healthy, like icing them? I'm kind of going back to like what I know about football, where like these dudes just hop in an ice bath after they go practice.
Definitely.
You do
that. Kind of a rigorous... I put my feet in. We started the season with Swan Lake, and that is really hard ballet. And every night, I would put my feet in a trash bag so they didn't get wet, and then in an ice bucket.
Oh. Wait, what? Okay, so this is hot tip.
Trash bag first. Put your feet in a trash bag so you don't have to, like, dry off after.
Baller move.
Yeah.
I never would have thought
Your whole body in a trash bag and jump in.
Just trash bag it up.
It's still cold, but
I'm sure it's
still
horrifyingly cold.
If you put the ice in after you put your feet in the water, then you can get used to it a little better.
All right, see, hot tips, guys.
Yeah.
You didn't think you would get these hot tips today, but here we are.
Wow.
And then on stage, if for whatever reason something happens, you trip, fall, whatever, what's the facial expression you have to revert to make it feel like, no, it's part of the show?
Well, it's live theater.
Right.
When I was younger, I would get really, I'd beat myself up. I'd be like, oh, I can't believe I did that.
It's an art form that demands perfection.
Yes.
I can imagine that you'd be pretty mad if you did.
Yeah, it is live theater. And as you get older and you get more experience, those things happen less, actually, because you handle your body better, more in the moment.
More in tune. You're feeling it a little bit
so
more.
So usually I don't think I usually show those things in my face because
you probably don't.
It's
that's
like when you're
talking
to someone and you jumble your words. It's a normal thing.
Yeah. Been there. Am I right?
5 minutes ago.
Steve's got a blooper reel of me effing up words.
Yeah, that's not false.
Yeah, preaching to the choir on that one.
Is there a special, unique kind of exercise, fitness thing you do to stay into ballet form?
So I've gotten really big on weight training to help my... I just had tendonitis this year.
Ooh.
So I've been, like, loading my Achilles tendon with weight. So I'll, like, be at the gym with the supported bar, and I've been slowly adding more and more weight and just, like... lowering from like a demi, or how do you guys say it? When I'm like on my toes and I like lower down off a step. Yeah,
come down to our level. Yeah. Thank you.
So
how do morons think about it? You too. Yeah.
Well, demi point wouldn't make any sense to you.
Yeah. Not even slightly. But luckily for not the listener.
Googling.
Luckily for just us, you were showing us
everyone
visually.
Everyone else is like, yeah, we're totally on. We're totally following you. Don't dumb it down for these guys.
I got it.
Yeah, weight training and a lot of cardio.
Oh, cool.
That's what's helped me. But everyone has their own thing.
I'm sure there's all sorts of events, different ways to train.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. What about Milwaukee's putting a smile on your face right now?
The weather change. Honestly, like the way people react to warm weather. I honestly, this is so silly, but I think that in Wisconsin, there should be like a holiday that the first day that it's 70 degrees, everyone just goes outside.
Everyone immediately gets off of work.
Stops what they're doing.
All productivity.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of do that anyway, and I think that's what puts a smile on my face is how much we adore the outdoors, even in this cold state. That's what puts a smile on my face.
Awesome.
Love it. And we have to.
Yeah.
We would collapse in on ourselves like a dying star in February.
What?
When it's still just awful outside.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Alana, thank you for coming
so
on
much.
With us. It was so cool. Mm. Thank you. Adam, thank you too.
Absolute blast. Yeah. Glad I could be here.
Right.
This time. And not get fired.
You're fired.
Hi, my name is Ty Pauls. I am the Managing Director and Chief Advancement Officer at Milwaukee Ballet. And to me, Milwaukee is home.
Hey, Steve.
What? I'm not. That
I'm
wasn't,
still ready.
That wasn't it.
Yeah. I'm still ready. Hey. Hey.
Hey, Adam.
I'm ready.
All right. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up? Ty, how are you?
I'm great. Thank
you.
Right.
Thank you for coming.
I love your name, by the way.
Thanks.
It's an awesome name.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
We get really normal names, like boring. Like I could easily change my name in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
I don't know what it would
be.
I'm
not even attached to it.
I'm not either. That's really funny.
Care.
I'm not either. So when we get people on that have unique
cool names,
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
Come on, why not me?
Man, mom and dad.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Welcome to the studio. We're in Transfer Pizzeria Cafe, our home away from home. When we're not recording somewhere else, we're here. Adam, we learned a lot about Milwaukee Ballet and ballet in general. Now let's get in. We're going to get into the details on like what the organization is about.
Mm-hmm.
How people may have a certain perspective on it, but
we'd like to hear yours.
Yeah.
What can you share? Like, what are all the things the organization does outside of maybe what some people just see in the performances, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're a lot more than just what people, you know, maybe see on stage. And we kind of look at three kind of main parts of our business, our pillars, we call them. Of course, performance is one of them. The other is community engagement, and then school and training, which a big piece of that, of course, is our school and academy that we have.
Okay.
So those are kind of our three areas. They're all very intertwined, as you can imagine. But performances range from the Nutcracker every holiday season to big shows like Peter Pan, which we just did, to contemporary productions that might be at the Pabst Theater, a little bit of a smaller stage, shows that we do in our own building. And we have our company, of course, of professional dancers. You talked with Alana.
Yeah.
We have 24 professional dancers, and then we have about 20 second company dancers, kind of the
up-and-comers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We learned about that.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
I mean, it's amazing. We have so many people in our company right now who were in the second company, so it's really amazing to see that change and that transition and growth for them. And then, of course, we have our community engagement, as I mentioned. And so that can range from initiatives and programs that are connected to our shows, such as we had a student matinee at Peter Pan last week, which we had like 1,800 kids there. And it's just like this wild energy.
Yeah.
We do that for the Nutcracker every
year. Weird
smells. Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Those parents and teachers who bring them are really lots of respect.
Yeah.
Mad respect.
And then we have a sensory friendly performance that we do of the Nutcracker every year. So those sorts of outreach and initiatives that are tied to the shows. But then we also have standalone programming. So we have a program, for example, called Releve that we've been doing, I think, for like 30 plus years with some partner MPS schools where we go in and teach third, fourth, and fifth graders ballet for free. And it's awesome. Like all school year. Yeah. Like one school has it on Wednesdays, one school has it on Tuesdays. It's just part of their school day. Not for every kid. They have to, you know, decide that they want to do it, but it's right. really an awesome program, and we see a lot of kids like progress through it and then actually go into our school and academy, where we offer a lot of scholarships and opportunities that way. So we have programs like that. We have a program called Tour de Force that's for young children and, well, actually children kind of a variety of ages, but who have mobility issues. So maybe just some challenges moving around, but also maybe in wheelchairs. We actually have a division where they're in wheelchairs and dancing with our dancers and our instructors from their chairs. So the community engagement piece is probably the part that most people don't see as much. It's just not as visible because either you're a part of the program or you heard about it from someone or from somewhere. But it's really a big, you know, at the core of kind of our mission and why we're doing what we do. And then we have the school side. We have a school and academy, which starts as young as 2 years old. My son started doing it this year. I don't know if he'll be a dancer, but...
But he started.
He gave it a go, kind of.
That's awesome.
And it goes all the way up to... We have a pre-professional program, which is basically high school age kids who switch to online high school so that they can dance every day, all day, to train for a professional career. So
that's
it's
intense.
For the serious.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So that's great. That's at an organizational level. Let's bring it down to your day-to-day. What does your day-to-day look like? It's got to be kind of
I mean,
all
besides
over
being
place,
on a cool podcast.
Well, this is like a cool day. This is a fun day. Honestly, I always feel bad because I feel like saying, oh, my day is different every day is kind of a... Feels like a cop-out, but it's really the truth. So, I mean, last week, for example, my days were generally focused on getting ready for Peter Pan, whether that's working with the marketing team, talking to our folks who are going to be running the boutique, dealing with, you know, helping to make sure that everybody was ready for our student matinee, things like that. This week, coming out of that show, it's a little bit different. I'm dealing with budgets. I'm looking at spreadsheets.
Oh, budgets.
Yeah, you know, the really
everyone's,
fun stuff.
Everyone's time. Favorite time of year.
Yeah, Peter Pan. Budgets, I don't know. But so the days truly do vary based on where we're at in the season and what's kind of the next big thing coming up. So lots of meetings.
I have a weird
question.
That
in the corporate world.
Where do you go? Where do I go if I want Milwaukee Ballet? Where do I go?
So, like, where do you go physically?
Physically.
So we, our headquarters, if you will, is in the Third Ward. We have a brand new, newish building that opened actually right before the pandemic. It's called the Baumgartner Center for Dance.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's right kind of by Summerfest, ICC area on Jackson Street. And it's a great space. It's where we have our administrative offices. It's the main branch, one of three branches for our school and academy. It's where our company rehearses and trains. The second company is there. So that's our home. But then our home away from home, we have kind of two. Marcus Performing Arts Center.
We know how that goes,
Of course. Is where we do our big shows. The Nutcracker. We did Peter Pan there. Kind of the big story ballets each year. And then we also get to perform at the Pabst Theater. So generally we do more contemporary, kind of different type of shows there, which is really cool, and that's such a beautiful space. So we have two shows there next year, actually, which is very exciting because historically we've maybe only done one. So
wow, look at you.
That's incredible.
There's so much going on that we didn't know about.
When,
and I
we live here.
That's right. When we live here. This is why we're doing this podcast, because we want to experience everything.
It's really for us.
One of the things, so I assume MilwaukeeBallet.org, that's where you find any performances that are coming up, anything you can buy tickets for right away.
It's a beautiful website,
too. Is there anything lesser known that people could buy tickets for that they're like, holy crap, I didn't know I could go see this show. I didn't know I could go see this.
This really kind of came about from COVID in a way. So when we moved into our building, we were there for maybe 6 months. COVID hit, everything shut down. We had to we actually were supposed to do Peter Pan. Had to cancel it, had to cancel the rest of our season. Didn't get to do the next season. And so we started, you know, when they were very particular about you can only have this percentage of people in a room. So we said, okay, well, we need to do something. The dancers need to perform. We need to keep going. And so we started doing performances in our We Energies Performance Theater at the Baumgartner Center. And we did a variation of the Nutcracker that we called Short and Sweet, like pun on sweets.
Love it.
And our shows were for 10 people at a time. because of the COVID restrictions.
Holy crap.
It was wild.
I can't even imagine.
And then the next show that we did was called Regen, and I think we had like 40 people in the audience. And we slowly kind of built back until, thankfully, the next season we went full blast at the theater. But people loved being in that theater space. So if you go to the ballet at the Marcus Center at the Pabst, you know, you're sitting in your audience seats, you're looking up at the stage. It's an amazing experience. But here, this is a studio theater, and you're actually sitting in, like, on risers, essentially, like a raised seating area, looking down at the floor, and the dancers are, you know, from here where we are,
yeah,
if you're in the
close.
First couple rows, it's a totally different experience, and people loved it. So now that we have that space and we realized how special that is, we're trying to incorporate that into our seasons where we
can.
Because it's just such a very unique thing, separate from what people get when they go to the big shows.
Right.
So, yeah.
What are some of the things you hear that are not accurate about
misinformation?
Yeah, or just perception-wise, like that you hear from people that just aren't accurate about the Milwaukee Ballet.
Yeah, well, I don't even know that it's just about Milwaukee Ballet. I think it's just about ballet in general.
Right?
If you didn't grow up either dancing or being exposed to it, you know, I thankfully had a mom who took me to a lot of ballets, so I grew up enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that, it can be, you know, I've heard that it can be a little intimidating. People don't know what to expect. They think that they're going to be going and just seeing, you know, classical Swan Lake with Tchaikovsky classical music and tutus and not know what's going on. But the truth is, there's such a variety. I mean, we did Swan Lake this year, and it's actually one of the coolest shows that we do. People love it. And it's one of the oldest ballets. But then you have The Nutcracker, and you have Peter Pan, which is so fun. I mean, I just took my 3-year-old to see Peter Pan, and he paid attention through 3 acts.
Wow.
Because it's
holy
so...
Crap. How long is Peter Pan? Is it 2 hours?
Two and a half hours.
With 3 acts. Break?
Yeah. And he actually was able to pay attention through the whole thing because it's that theatrical. It's that much...
Yeah.
It's just a different type of storytelling. But then we have shows that are totally contemporary, totally... not what you would expect. We did a show in February this year at the Pabst Theater where one of the pieces was performed purely to Radiohead music. It was awesome.
Bad.
I missed that.
But so, I mean, it's just, there's such a variety and it can be interpreted in so many ways. So I think the big thing that I always hear from people is they're just not sure. And I always tell them, like, you can find something. You might not always love going to, you know, the classical shows. You might not like the contemporary, but you'll find something
in
between.
There's always something in between.
Yeah.
Yep. Is Milwaukee unique in how the different performing arts groups do this sort of thing? Like, really work to be as relevant as possible to the audience? Any audience?
No, I don't. I wouldn't say that we're unique in that way. I think that we do some things in really awesome ways that maybe others aren't doing. But we actually have this kind of consortium of dance groups that come together and we meet semi-regularly, whether it's the marketing teams or the development groups or the executive leadership groups. And we share ideas. We share what
best
people are doing. You know, so like we have our Tour de Force program that I mentioned, but can we, you know, share some ideas from someone else and expand it into adult programming for, you know, adults who have mobility issues or things like that. So I think everybody sees the value in the community engagement, absolutely, 100%. The school and academy, most dance organizations our size have a school, but it's really, you know, for those who don't have it, I don't know how it totally works for them, because for us it's such a pipeline.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get your talent.
Yeah, I
right?
mean, we have one of our dancers, for example, who was the other Wendy in Peter Pan, not Alana, but the other Wendy. There were two Wendys. She came up through our school, and then she was in our second company, and now she is a professional dancer with us.
So cool.
So it's, I mean, even we have somebody in our development department who is a development manager, and she went to our school. We train good people.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Cool. Cool. How important is it for Milwaukee to have Milwaukee Ballet, a world-class ballet here?
I think very important. Obviously, I might be a little biased, but the truth is the arts, the performing arts, and just the arts in general, they just add so much to the culture within the community. Mm-hmm. And not just for the community that's here to participate and enjoy and expand their horizons and be, you know, forced to, you know, maybe think about things in a little bit of a different way, or be able to escape for a while if that's the case.
Right.
But also to have a city that really is on the map as a destination, a place where people want to be, a place that people want to come back to if maybe they went away for a while to school or whatever it might be. Having a really vibrant art scene, I think, is essential to, you know, keeping your city that vibrant and, and that,
totally
that type
you.
Of place that people want to be in.
Yep. Making a destination for people to come see.
I mean, it's the same as having sports teams, you know. It's all the pulse, the energy of
everything
the city.
Together, right? Yeah. Density around all that stuff. Yeah. So cool. Adam, a weird question.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I have one wild card question. for the parents who are listening right now who have probably, I have to assume now, babies, because you have to start them that young.
who are thinking about having children.
In the future. Getting them into ballet school, do you have any tips for them on where to start, what to do, things that they need to do that early on that would help?
Yeah, I think we try to make it very easy and accessible. So if you maybe bring in a kid who's a little bit older, the folks in our school will work with them to figure out, you know, where should they be placed, you know, of course, based on their age, but also based on their ability, and make that a really comfortable process. But in terms of starting young, we have, I mentioned my son did a class with a few weeks. I don't know if he'll be up for trying it again. But it's basically called Dance Along With Me, and it's parents and their kid.
Oh, wow.
It's for ages 2 to 4.
Yeah.
And so it's, as you can imagine, not a ton of dance, but more like just trying to get them to pay attention and do movement. You know, see how much you can enjoy, you know, moving your body and getting active in that way. So, I mean, that's a great place to start because it's just a little bit of a beginner. It's for 6 weeks, I think the sessions are. It's not committing to a full school year per se. But we have three different branches. We have the downtown, we have Brookfield, we have one in Fox Point. So hopefully it's, you know, something that people can figure out which one might be the best for them, work with our team to figure out where their child might fit into it. But it's, we always like joke, it feels a little cliche to say it, but it's like so much more than dance. It's like discipline. It's
absolutely
it's movement. I mean, it's just, it's really kind of amazing.
How you present yourself. There's so many skills that are learned in this area that are transferred to other areas of life.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Awesome. That's why Adam wants to go to school there now.
We have adult classes.
I was thinking. So we put our son. My wife is a ballroom dance instructor.
Oh.
So she obviously was like, let's get this kid in dance right away. So at three, that's why I was so surprised when you said 2 years or 2 years old and a couple of weeks he made. Yeah. I was like, oh wow, that's incredible. I think my son at 3 or 4 made it 1 week in a dance class. Now he's doing it at 5 years old. Now he's going to do.
He's going to first
class.
Stage right after this.
And I'm going to first stage for theater camp after this with him. Which should be fun. Because it's I think they do a welcome thing.
And we have dance camps in the summer, you know, outside of the regular school year. So that's also a fun way to kind of get into it without being in a, you know,
maybe
more structured class.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
So we good one. I'm glad we got that out because skills that you get in the arts, that very important. And very applicable to other stuff in life that you need. We talked about it, but MilwaukeeBallet.org, all the information, all the do it. Google, follow on the socials, all of that.
Yeah, what's the socials on Instagram?
We have Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, and it's, I believe we're just Milwaukee Ballet on all of them.
Nice. So,
and
wasn't
if
taken.
You, if you get a chance,
I should've
go
got that.
There right effing now and look
Stop
up
listening.
That sweet video of Peter Pan and all the lights flashing to bring Tinkerbell back to life.
That's awesome.
Jaw-droppingly cool.
And
neat
from
idea.
The audience, even though I knew it was coming, I was just like, oh my God.
Right.
It's so cool looking. So cool. So go check that out.
One last question.
Sure.
This may or may not make it in.
Oh, God.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. What about Milwaukee's putting a smile on your face right now?
Well, at this exact moment, it's the anticipation of summer.
Yes.
While sadly, that means that the ballet season will be over for a few months, but we have a great season next year.
Yeah.
Our summers are just so awesome. I mean, you can't beat them. it's just that little slice of perfection that Milwaukee really has each year.
It really is. It makes it. It makes that winter almost worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost.
So now is a good time to start getting ready for the next season for everyone. Get your tickets.
Yeah.
Get in line. Get your season. Whatever, you know.
We're renewing right now. We have new packages, and we have a full season package, which is basically all the shows except for Nutcracker, because not everybody wants that every single year. Although, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I was just going to say, who?
Yeah.
I want names and social security numbers.
Right now.
But then we have like a flex plan where you can pick three shows of your choice,
oh, cool.
including Nutcracker. We have a family pack, which is always the two shows that are more family-oriented. So next year, it's The Nutcracker and Cinderella.
Oh, cool.
And then we actually have a YP pack for people who are under 40 that we rolled out last year as a really nice introduction. It's like 50% off normal list price. You have to prove your age.
Damn young people.
But,
you have to say stuff like bussin'.
Yeah.
But like,
slaps. Ballet slaps.
But going back to what you were saying about people, you know, what are the things we hear and people being intimidated by it, but also, you know, making sure that people have access to it if maybe they're just starting off and don't have as much disposable income.
Starting points, right?
Yeah. So next year our YP package will include Dracula, which is one of Milwaukee Ballet's most popular
productions.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to go.
It's going to be
even
awesome.
Even though we're not YPs, we're going to go.
Yeah. And then one of our contemporary shows.
I am.
Yes.
Yeah, see you later.
All IP.
How much you pay for your ticket?
I'm almost.
Yeah.
Cool. So, again, all the details, MilwaukeeBallet.org.
Yes.
Go check it out. Thank you so much for
this.
This is awesome.
Yes,
appreciate it.
This is really fun.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me.
Adam, thank you.
Yeah. You're all right. Thank you. Thanks for recording this.
And you know how we end it?
Yep. And now, Milwaukee's own new ski.